from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished, prepared or perfect unto every good work. Hebrews 2:4-3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs, with wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And so far our study has shown that Christology of the Old Testament is the gospel there. The Christology of the Old Testament is how to discover the gospel. Our Christology is not as much as anything hidden. If it's hidden at all, it's hidden in the actions and the responses of the unbelieving crowd in the Old Testament. The Christology is found in the utterances about Jesus, which said it must have that eternal flavor and that enduring substance to it, if it's a Christology. Now that said, we want to again focus on, because we will not do good to weigh in much on the unbelieving world in the Old Testament, because we're not to study the unbelieving world. We are to make references to them, but we're to look at how people believe and what did they believe. Now, we saw earlier on, again, that the gospel transcends the Jewish community. The gospel transcends the Jewish community. And not only Jews were preachers of the gospel. We've seen at least in Melchizedek, for example. We've seen in Noah. We've seen Enoch. We've seen Abel. We have seen even Abraham, who was, yes, a father of that nation, but also of many nations. So, in the sense where he was declared righteous, he couldn't have been called a Jew at that point, or by circumcision at all. He's definitely a believer, a believing non-Jew at the time he was declared righteous. Also, we saw that the nations of the earth are in God's plan. They're in his purpose and they're in his provisions. And if he sent Nahum, if he sent Melchizedek, if he sent Jonah, has been sending people and he still does, even till now. I also made sure that we saw something, I want to see it again, that what Jesus spoke about, and I told you to pay attention to it, all that the prophets have spoken. So, which is the kerugma, or the keruso by action, showing you that the preached word is what preceded the written word. That's where you get the inspired of God. Now, Hebrews 4, I mentioned that the writer of Hebrews was the one that was more chronological in the history of the Jewish faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Euangelizo, Euangelizo, as well as unto them. Pay attention here. When he says as well as unto them, is the word katopher. Okay? K-A-T-H-O-P-E-R. How is this word used? Romans 4:6. Even as David also. Romans 12:4. Okay, which is used figuratively. For as we have, that's figurative. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Some of them also. Same. 1 Corinthians 12:12, figurative. 2 Corinthians 1:14. You also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:13. Not as Moses, which put the word that the children of Israel. Okay, not as, or like, in 2 Corinthians 3:18. as in a glass, are changed even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it is used for something that is the same. So, which means that the same way Hebrews 4:2, the gospel is preached to you today, is how it was preached to them then. Which means that the gospel is not types and shadows. It's an euangelizo, it's an utterance. Preached is what he used. So, the gospel is not in the symbols of worship. It's in the words. Now, look at what he says. But the word preached did not profit, O fellow, which is the word benefit, used in Hebrews 13:9. The word preached, logos. Logos is used for the message. So oftentimes, what we are going to read will be the subject matter. The word preached. So what we are reading was first of all preached. The word preached was of no benefit. How? Not being mixed. Keranumi. K-E-R-A-N-U-M-I. The word mix oftentimes is used for pouring out a drink. Not being mixed with faith. That it is not received by faith. That is, the message is poured out, but was not welcomed in them that heard it. Oh, no. It's the word sog teranumi, actually. That's joint listening. Oh, sorry for that. Which is seen in Hebrews 12:24. Pick that back. Teranumi is mix with, is sog teranumi. Sorry for that. Not mixed with them that heard. Notice the word heard. It's the word akohie. It means to hear in your heart. A-K-O-E. A word he later used in Hebrews 5:11, dull of hearing. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard. That word heard is the same Hebrew word in Isaiah 53 verse 1. They have not, who has believed our report. Report. Who has believed our report. Look at the background of this statement. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us. He uses the phrase promise. In verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Evil heart of unbelief. Verse 19. So you see, they could not enter in because of unbelief. So he calls it a promise. Verse 18. To whom swear he that they should not enter in his rest, but to them that believed not. Now look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. For I was grieved in that generation, they do always hear, where? In their heart. So, the issue is the promise. Also, there are three words interchangeably used here. You'll find the word lest. Kataposis. K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. Hebrews 3:11, enter into my rest. Hebrews 3:18, they should not enter into my rest to them that believe not. Hebrews 4:1, a promise being left of us of entering into his rest. Hebrews 4:5, in this place again, if they enter into my rest. Hebrews 4:10, He that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Catapulses. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he has said, as I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We're going to explore that shortly. But a key term here, again, because we're studying the language or the communication, will be verse 7. Again, he limited a day, saying in David, today, so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That is, he's repeating the same statement after what had been said in the wilderness had been said. Then he says, if Jesus, which is actually Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have sworn another rest? Now look at what he's saying. He's saying that the statement of Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8 was made when they were in the wilderness. Now, Joshua came, let's assume the millions were perished in the wilderness, and just the children went and entered Canaan. They said about hundreds of years after, that issue of his rest, and not hardening your heart to his voice, was now prophesied again. Which means that Joshua did not give them that rest. So he now calls that rest a promise. So, whilst Moses gave them the law when they entered Canaan, the promise was not Canaan. So Canaan was the flesh. The promise was by the Spirit. So you now find the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that's the promise, which is an eternal fact. And the law of sin and death, which he gave them for Canaan. So Canaan was not the rest. So Moses was the same preacher of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And when he accused them, the law of sin and death. In the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? Who shall ascend to the deep? For the word is nigh thee. That's the law of faith, the law of Spirit of life in Christ. And then you also had the law of sin and death. Same Moses. So he said if Joshua had given them the rest, then years later, another prophet, that is David, will not get up and say, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Harden not your heart. Psalm 95, verse 7. Which means that the promise of the gospel was spiritual. Just like today. So, if at all Canaan was used, Canaan was used, again, like we have said, Jesus' cross, Canaan was used like a parable. Canaan was not the land. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that when Abraham got to the land, he still saw the city and builder whose maker was God. Which means that all along, whether it's Isaac, whether it's the worship of use of animal worship, whether it's Canaan, Mount Moriah, everything were parables. They were just likened. For the promise of God was in words, and it is received by the Spirit. Nothing has changed. So, in verse 9, there remaineth a rest. He changes the word there to sabbathimos. Sabbath. S-A-B-B-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. A word used for the Jewish Sabbath. 1 Corinthians 16:2. First day of every week. Is always called the first day. Why is the Sabbath called the first day? Because it's a day of rest. It's typically to say, look, this is how we begin. We begin by no works. We begin by God's works. Upon the first day of the week, which is 1 Corinthians 16:2, which is the Sabbath. Now, there's an argument on that, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. Please just stay out of it. Colossians 2:18 as well. So there is the days. So even when he was giving them Sabbath, Moses was using parables. Why he had to say that was because he had written to them Genesis. We're looking at that shortly, where he mentioned Sabbath that was not a day. So because of their unbelief, having given them Genesis account of what the Sabbath is, he now gave them the physical Sabbath. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. So analogies are used because of the refusal of people to hear by faith. There remained therefore a rest, Sabbatismos, to the people of God. So Joshua didn't give it. He didn't give it. In verse 8, if he had given them rest, katapaino, if he had given them rest, then it will be said again that there remained a rest. So he's saying that, notice, have you seen what we have been saying so far? That unusual correspondence. They are all saying the same thing. You have said, David, which one is rest? Which rest again are you talking about? Then you hear Joshua mention the rest. You hear Joshua telling them to obey the Lord thy God after they had gotten to Canaan. So, which means that that pattern of correspondence should be followed. You can't afford to read the Old Testament like there's a veil on your heart. You are not blinded. Because you are now a person of the faith, or a person of faith, you don't read the Old Testament like a man with a stiff neck, or a man whose heart is wax gross. Strong words. Some still read it that way. Just say oxymoron. Okay, verse 4. For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh on this wise. God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There's something we have to interpret there. God did rest. Now, in the Greek, it actually is the word God gave rest. Gave rest for, which is the same word in chapter 4 verse 10. As God from ease. God gave a rest. Katapaino means to cause to rest. So, God from the foundation of the world. Now, this is Moses writing. It brings out mankind in Genesis 2:3. Let's go there. And mentions the rest. Notice that this promise is in the entire book of Hebrews. It's the same promise in Hebrews 11:19. Hebrews 11:39-40. They receive not the promise. It's the same promise. So, he writes from Abel to Malachi. He now shows you a consistent, unusual pattern of words. He now calls it the epagelia. What God said he would do that he never did. Until Jesus. The eternal excellencies of God's virtues and power. What he said he would do that he never did. So, when you follow that unusual pattern, or consistent pattern of correspondence, you have found the gospel. From Abel to the last person. Now, what is it, the seventh? Again, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, I'll start from 1. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. Hosts is used for armies. So it's assumed that this is angels. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. No, the E is actually man. He rested in the work of God. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. How can you say God rested from all the work which he God created and made? You see there? So, it's man that is giving this rest. So, the rest of God is an instruction, not a day. God instructs man to rest in his works. Now, so say, where is that instruction? Acts 17. That is what he has created in universal man. So that's why I said we have to use Adam two ways. In the heart of universal man is God placing a desire of that rest. So unbelief must be situated in not entering into that rest. Unbelief will be situated in not entering into that rest. No doubt about it, the rest is found in Christ, because he calls it the gospel, the word. Genesis 2. Again, look at this background. The Jews, before Moses wrote Genesis, did they have this history? Yes. They had the oracles. They were told from generation to generation. They knew about Abraham. There was no book. They knew about Isaac. So, why then is Moses writing? Is it their historian? No, he's writing about Jesus. Because they knew the history. He's writing about Christ. So, observe the way he weaves the history around the gospel. Oftentimes we allow the history to overwhelm the gospel. How would you have missed Genesis 2, 1 to 3? That he caused man to cease from his works and to rest in his finished work. So God, from the onset, gave man a promise. So, look at Moses writing. So when you hear day, and you hear a day that he created, you know it's not a Monday. It's not a Tuesday. Emeras in the Greek. When you hear light and darkness, and then you hear waters, and then you hear Spirit of God, there is a doctrine going on. An explanation of God's promises is laden in those descriptions. Or is invaded or embedded. So in that, he says in verse 3, he blessed it and sanctified it. Kodesh or Kodash, which means that he made it holy and separate, is Sabbath. The word Sabbath means stop. So there are two things that are provided for universal man. There is the Sabbath, stop. What I have done. Then there is verse 18 and 20, the help, the Ezer. So there's help in the rest of God. God didn't make man perfect. Neither did he make him imperfect. Neither did he make man helpless. So there was help in the what God said. There was help in what he has said. So if man was to sin, he will sin around God's word. That's why till tomorrow, people are here to find what Adam did. But we can find it out. It's not so difficult. By not finding it out. I'm joking. So, you see that Now, it's called a promise. Something God said he will do. From Genesis 2 and 3, Hebrews 4:4 rehashes it. So you and I need to understand Moses and how he wrote. For example, when Moses wrote about the Red Sea, in his mind was salvation and the new birth. When he writes about the rock, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant, but all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Figurative expression. And did all eat, or were made to eat of the same spiritual meat. If they ate that, they would not have perished. Then, were made to, that's the Greek, made to drink the same spiritual drink. For they were made to drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So, it's not the waters he's talking about, it's not the bread, it's the words. You know, before now, when you see the word spiritual, he had used it in chapter 2, verse 14. 13 first. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, the spiritual drink will be the communication of the Spirit of Christ. That's why I said the rock that followed them was Christ. So, they were made to eat, made to drink. So the drink and the food, can we say they are words? Are they words? Yes. Which the Holy Ghost teacheth. They are words. So when you read Moses, and you hear rock, water, and you hear food, ask which one. Imagine, he told them, man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 8:3. But by every word. That means the food of Moses was the word of God. But by every word of God. Or better still, every utterance of God. So when Moses writes about the ark, look out for what is not seen. When he writes about Isaac being the firstborn of Abraham, how can you call Isaac the firstborn of Abraham when there was Ishmael? In fact, he was called the only son. When you read that, that means he's referring to somebody else. When you read about the ark, and then the stars, the cities, the Red Sea, the Passover, Jericho. What is not seen is intended. What is not seen. So, as we have done in this study, all miracles are signs of the message. What is a sign? A sign is what points to something else. So, healed in the body points to reconciliation and wholeness in Christ. Blind eyes open, again, to see and know God. Yeah, same thing. When you see the cripple walking, they are all figurative. Because eventually, the eyes will die. The legs will die. The heart will fail. But what they are signifying is eternal. So all miracles are deliberate. The water was deliberate. The use of the Passover, for example. You know, we said the Passover could not have been, they ate it every year, right? In remembrance. But all that ate it eventually died. Which shows you the Passover was not an animal. the Passover was the man Christ Jesus. So it was given to them as a promise and figuratively given to them as an animal. So which one takes preponderance over the other? The words. So the miracles of God point to the miracle of God. So as you read Moses, who is the archaic of the writings, listen to the words of faith. We said one of the things you're going to see are the eternal things said. I mean, look at Moses didn't write this one, but look at Joshua. He must have learned from his father. Look at Joshua. What would have brought about this? Joshua 2. Look at the Rahab issue. Joshua the son of Nun sent two out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came to an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there are men in there to in night of the children of Israel to search out the country. Because we said to Jesus, saying to Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee which are entered into thy house, for they become to search out all the country. The woman took the two men and hid them, and said, there came two men unto me, but I wasn't where they were. Now this is a very strange thing, just like children of Israel, just like the midwives. And then it came to pass, about the time of shut of the gate that it was dark, that the men went out. Either the men went, I wot not, pursued after them quickly, for they shall overtake them. She brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. So of course, they went. Now, she said to them in 9, I know the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what he did of the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side, Jordan, Sidon, Og, and whom you have utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. They did not make any more courage in any because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. This is a Gentile nation. Are you following? Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show me kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. When the man has said, our life is for yours. If you utter not this, our business, it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. She let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now, we will be blameless, verse 17. Now look at verse 21. According to your words, so be it. She sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So they are all playing with figures of speech. Now, what did they say to her? They said the promise God gave to Abraham. Do you understand? That's what they said to her. That's why they came. So, what did she hear of? The same thing. Joshua is writing just like Moses. The communication of the spies was the same promise. So using a scarlet cloth is the same mode of communication. She figuratively demonstrates what she believed. Now, look at chapter 6. Verse 23. And Joshua, okay, let's verse 23. So we'll say, the city shall be accursed, even it shall be all that are in. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall leave. She and all that are without her, because she hid the messenger that we sent. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's house and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, we have said that the spies are evangelists. Can you remember that? those who go, alright, to carry God's message around. So no doubt, they must have said those things in Jericho. And many people didn't believe it. But this woman believed it. And then she hid them. Look at, so when the king was looking for them, she hid them. Just like Moses' story in Exodus chapter 1. Now look at how the epistles describe it. Hebrews 11. By verse 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So, receiving the spies with peace is, you can call it a physical demonstration of what she had already believed. So Joshua is writing just like his father. James 2. Likewise, 25, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? That is, the faith was now justified by her actions. So Joshua got it, James picked it well, that what she did to the messengers was just a physical demonstration of what she had already believed. One intriguing thing is, everybody always still calls her a lot. I have something about that, but you cannot bear it now. You can't bear it now. I'll be when the Spirit of Truth is come. He will guide us into all truth. Yeah, I don't want to be misquoted. There's a reason why she was still called a lot. I see somebody say that so that God can show you his mercifulness. Yeah. Why is David not called murderer or fornicator? There's a reason. Want to find out the reason? What is so great salvation 8? Where are you going to? So I don't probably eat 15 one day. Don't worry. So what are we going to teach again? There's so much. Amen. And it's the same truth. Praise God. Amen. Is this what is called being established in the faith? You're not saying something new. It's just being established in the faith. And when some people get bored, they veer off the faith. Just say you hear the same truth. You know what we have been saying so far is the same thing, the gospel. Just seeing the truth of the gospel all over again. I don't know about you. When I study like this and I sometimes I just stand up and I shake my head. You know, there's just this awe that comes that, you know, when you say it's past finding out is the truth. So how great are the depth of your riches? There was a study I did one day, that was years back, not too long. And I just said that, look, really, if there was anything to believe that God exists is Jesus. It's too clear. Atheism is a struggle. It's an effortless effort. Sorry. It's a useless effort. It's like, what are you doing all this for? Because in the heart of universal man, is God's creation to believe. That's just the truth. So, Rahab here is found to have believed. Faith in the promise. Did she eventually die? Yes. How come the red flag did not stop her from dying? Because the flag is not the promise. The spies also died. Joshua also died. That's what Peter was saying. He said, you know David, his sepulcher is here. But he being a prophet and seeing. So imagine if you saw David take an app and go, blam, 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 and then you also go and buy an app. We should hug you. You know, You know? I mean, how can a man who had just killed, I mean, he did a double-edged sword. He lied, he killed, then he committed adultery. Then he says, restore unto me the joy. He didn't say salvation, no. The joy. That means the man is still claiming his salvation. Say new heart. I know he didn't have a new heart, really. He was not born. He said, well, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit away from me. He was affirming it. Can you imagine? A psalm he sang as soon as the prophet dealt with him. But the interesting part was, in the history of that story, we didn't find that psalm in what he said. So that means that he must have said it privately. When the prophet was done, he just went to his room. you know, in iniquity my mother conceived me. Which means that the mother must have had him out of wedlock. Or something. Or maybe, I don't know. But not talking about I was born in sin. See, you know. Said, when you restore this joy, I will teach transgressors your way. You know, I wrote down a policy in all Israel. And that prophet that came has no utterance of Christ till date. Do you know him? Nathan. I don't know him. Nobody quoted him. The writer of the epistle avoided him. But he quoted David. So, John 5. Think not, verse 45, that I am come to accuse you before the Father. There is one which accuses you before the Father, even Moses. Who accuses you already, sorry? Even Moses in whom you trust. Verse 46. For do you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. Grapho maho. He wrote of me. So, I must look at the intelligence of Christ penned down by Moses. He wrote of me. Hence the sermons, Luke 24, 25 to 27, beginning at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, Luke 25, 44, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Acts 13, 26. No, not 26. Acts 13, 39. By him, all that believe are justified of all things, which they couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Don't forget the law he's referring to is the law of sin and death, not the law of faith. Because he talks about the law of sin and death and also talks about the law of faith. Acts 3, before we get to that one. 22. For Moses said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise unto you of your brethren like unto me, that you shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So that's Moses. Acts 26. So there was a law of sin and death and the law of faith. Acts 26. Verse 22. Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses say shall come. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to where? So Moses always wrote about salvation for the Gentiles as well. Acts 28, verse 23. Arguably Paul's record of sermons in the book of Acts. And he says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came to him many in the lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses. So you can see the law of Moses in Acts 13 is different. Uh-huh. The law of Moses, of the prophets, from morning till evening. That's interesting. That means evangelism is not just quick stop. He said he was preaching to them from morning till evening. Some of us, when somebody has 10 minutes, and he's arguing, you're saying, doomed for hell. I pity you. The way you are going, I said all this for you, and you have not believed. The wrath of God. He said, from morning till evening. There are those he will pass away for days. Jesus taught for 4 days. For about 4 minutes. Look at the time. Do you believe? Not yet. Why? Romans 1. Verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So when you see the word promise, for example, in the Old Testament, is the word amar, A-M-A-R. It means to utter or say. It also has another one, debar, D-E-B-A-R-R, to speak. So God's promise are in words. God's promises are in words. Put this down. They are not in men's actions. They are not in men's possessions. They are in things that God said that he will do, that he never did till Jesus came. Or he put it at when Jesus came is a better one. In the New Testament, it's used about 70 times. And about 60 times of those 70 is referring to the promised gospel, the promises of God. What God said in different places, but it's the same thing. Told you the promise is the same, but said at different times. Hence, the King James translators put it in a plural, not because they are deferring promises. Say, let me write a book on the promises of God. You're going to write error. Because the promise of God is one and the same. Book of Hebrews writes it at the same promise. Different events, different worlds, different events and activities, but the same promise. So let's begin to wind up and see something. Exodus 18. Moses, statistically, hadn't written. In fact, the law wasn't given. But notice what Jethro found out. When he came to Moses, he saw that he judged the people, verse 13, from morning till evening. He judged them from morning till evening. What was he doing? Then he canceled them. Verse 19. I give thee counsel that God will be with you. Be for the people to God that thou mayest bring the curses unto God. Don't forget, Jethro is another Gentile. And Jethro is the one today we can say gave us the ministry gift. Okay, don't believe it. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. Thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. And the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them. To be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge at all seasons. Shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with you. Notice what he said they will do. Teach them ordinances and laws. Pay attention. There was no Deuteronomy 28 at this point. So the book of Deuteronomy at this point. The popular Ten Commandments were at this point. So what was he teaching them? What we found in Genesis. What he was teaching them. He was teaching them faith. He was teaching them the promise. He was teaching them the gospel. Which is now called the voice of the Lord your God. So if in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20, it says, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be, for their very fourth generation, children in whom is no faith.
So, what he taught them is what we read in Genesis. He taught them God's promise. Taught them faith. So by saying they believed not, it means his message was a message of faith. Don't forget that Noah, Genesis 6, as well, what did he preach? Salvation. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Dean shall not always instruct man to persuade him. For his days shall be 120. That means the days of persuading man will be 120 years. That means 120 more years to persuade man. Hebrews 11:5 calls it preaching. 2 Peter 2 calls it preaching. 1 Peter 3, we saw it yesterday, 18-20, says disobedience, that is not to believe. Why? Because Noah was preaching about Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah was not about homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah was about not welcoming God's messengers. Look at how Jesus used it. Matthew 10. Was their sexual immorality now a display of their unbelief? Very true, very true. But the destruction had nothing to do with their sexual immorality. Verse 15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Which city? Verse 14. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city or house or city, shake up the dust of your feet. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, who are as wise as serpents, but you be harmless as those. So Sodom and Gomorrah therefore will typify persecutors. Those who are, who refuse and resist the word. Those who don't welcome the message and the messenger. So, within all those stories, something is embedded. The message of Christ is death. The message of Christ suffering for us. God's benevolence, God's grace. And the resurrection of Jesus being the high point of what the message was about. And so we said something in the last session. Let me just use that and then we close up on that. Judas therefore will typify an Old Testament prophet that was not a messenger of Christ. Which means that he will refuse the message of Christ and go for the signs. Judas will be a typical person like that. Look at Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are raving wolves. Then it says in verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, entry into the kingdom of heaven, there is salvation. It's not what happens at the end of a man's life. No. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's the new birth. Then he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name I've cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Please, if in your mind you think it's a throne, you will not come. Raise your hand. No. In which day is he talking about? In his own day. Now, many will come and say, he didn't say they said to me they want to enter heaven, no. That some will lay claim on his name because they work miracles. Then he says, for verily, I'll never knew, depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Now, is there a possibility for these people to still be saved? Yes. It only highlights something. that doing the will of the Father is not miracles, it's not prophesying. It is what he has called the bread of the kingdom. The apostles attire, the bread of the kingdom, everlasting life, is to believe what Jesus said. So he says here, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. It fell not. It's founded upon the rock. Then he says, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the flood came, the winds blew, and great and a beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So it typifies signs, wonders, and prophesying as sand. Strong. So you will have people in the Old Testament who will prophesy, but they are not believers. So the new birth is faith in Christ. Very simple. And we had such men who followed him. John 6. When they worked miracles, they gave out bread and fish. They were excited. Then they began to speak about the eternal bread of God. His life. His resurrection. His death. Then they murmured. In verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, this is an hard thing, who can bear it? Then he said, but this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Now, did these people work miracles in his name? Likely. Did they prophesy, speak in his name? Yes, they did. But watch what he said, they believe not. Therefore I say unto you, no man come unto me except be given to me of my Father. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, we also go away. Look at Peter's response. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. The words. So there will be people that came to him for bread and fish. There were people that came to him for signs. But he says, you have the words, the logos, the rhema, the message of eternal life. So no doubt, that's what singled out people from generation to generation. The question we now ask is it still possible for people to prophesy by the Spirit today and not be believers? Well, I won't ask that question. I'll just say, is it possible for a non-believer to do signs, wonders, and miracles? Yes. That's what I should say. You know, and that brings us to the Old Testament narratives we gave earlier. There are people who prophesied, they were not believers. There are those who worked miracles in the four gospels, and they were not believers. And they mentioned the name of Jesus. It's even likely that, you know, he gave them that authority, Luke 10:19. So he said, rejoice in this not that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. So he always used the physical demonstrations. Because really, where Jesus saw Satan defeated is in the new birth. That is the defeat of Satan. That's the defeat of hell and Hades. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's not sickness and disease. That is the new birth. And so, in the writings of Moses, we'll find embedded in it the truth about the gospel. The promise of God. So what is preached to us today was also preached unto them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Salvation has not changed. Salvation is faith in Christ. It was faith in Christ among the Gentiles, faith in Christ among the Jews as a promise, and it's still faith in Christ today. And it's not a Jewish faith. It's a faith written
by the Jews, document-wise, but it's a faith spoken of all over the world and in the nations. We continue tomorrow morning.